Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, this is Deb Coviello, host of the Drop-In CEO podcast, and I'm excited to introduce to you today Stephanie Scheller. She is the founder of Grow Disrupt, a San Antonio-based training organization for small businesses, an accomplished speaker, and has been behind the scenes with more than 2,500 companies to analyze, address their sales, marketing, and systems. She is also a TEDx speaker, a Forbes 30 Under 30 nominee, a 2019 New York Life Women of the Year nominee, a two-time best-selling author. And most of all, she's dedicated to teaching the same skills that allowed her to build her business from scratch and walk away from her corporate job in less than 5 months. Stephanie, I'm so excited to have this conversation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I have been looking forward to this podcast since we first had our first chat. I don't even remember when that was, but I've been really looking forward to this.
Yeah. So for my speakers, Stephanie is a surprise. She is amazing. She comes across so professional. When she introduced herself to me and expressed interest to be on the show, you look at her background, it's incredible. She's incredibly talented. But the conversation is really where the magic is. She is a bundle of energy. She has so much information to share. She's accomplished. She's written a book. I can't wait to write my first book, and just so much insight. So this is going to be a great conversation. You're all going to enjoy it so much. So you ready, Stephanie?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Yeah. So listen, you've got a great journey, but I would love for you to share with our listeners your business journey. And then how has that led up to the impactful work that you do now?
So I'm really glad you asked that, because I think sometimes people have this belief that just because like I'm here today, like I knew what I wanted to do. And, you know, someone says, well, when did you know you wanted to be a speaker? And I can be like, oh, well, you know, back as a kid, my mom had to like pull me off the stage during praise and worship, because I would be the person running, I would be the kid running up on stage. But at the same time, you look at my actual business journey and it's been such a tangled mess, right? You've gone through so many different, when I started my first job out of college, I went to college to run a horse barn. Like that's my degree, is equine business and facility management. And I loved it. But when I graduated, I had to go for a plan B because I couldn't pay off my student loans and run a barn. And I ended up running as a sales rep for 3 years. And I did really great, but only after I figured out that it was okay to be in sales. And then I started a sales training business. And then I had this realization about a year and a half in, we built the business and, you know, like you said, built it from scratch so fast, had a blast with that, built it up to where it was the largest, most active sales training practice in Central Texas. And one of the things we did was about every 3 to 6 months, we would run this 2-day sales scripting boot camp. And at the end of one of the boot camps, one of my trainers came to me and said, you know, Steph, could I work with some of the business owners too? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, I mean, I enjoy working with the business owners too, but whenever we go out into the audience, because the way the boot camp was set up was it was 2 days where we would actually teach you and then walk you through building your sales scripts start to finish. How are you going to generate leads? How are you going to set appointments? How are you going to convert them? It was an intense 2 days. And when we would go out into the audience and work with people on building their scripts, I would always assign the other trainer to work with the sales reps. And so she comes to me and goes, can I work with the business owners? And I was like, well, sure. I mean, I don't know. Don't you? She was like, no, you always like tell me to go work with the sales reps. And it was this realization of, oh my gosh, I built this great business, you know, a year and a half in of building branding and doing well. And it's not where I'm really passionate and where I really love. And so we had this shift that happened. And what's interesting is like, it was like a year of still running the sales training business, but like trying to figure out, okay, what do I, like, where am I going? Where am I really passionate and excited about? And making this shift into, okay, we're going to put on events for small businesses and we're going to be the gatekeeper to find the right expert, the person that you actually, when you do what they tell you to do, it actually works in your business. Because there's so many gurus out there touting just nonsense. And so that was our goal. And so that's what we started doing. We started putting on events where we bring in speakers. We design the event start to finish, theme, agenda, venue, marketing. We sell the tickets. We bring people in. And what I loved was when we started getting, you know, success stories and hearing back from people. And now they're going and they're telling us about, you know, like I had one lady who, it was very interesting. She came to our event, one of our big events, the Grow Retreat, a couple of years ago. And she was introducing me on stage the next year at an event she arranged for me to speak at. And she gets on stage and says, she says, "Guys, I got to tell you something." And I had no clue she was going to say this. She gets on stage. She goes, "I have to tell you something. When I first met Stephanie, I decided we were going to go to her event as like a last hurrah. Like I bought tickets for me and my team to go." It was like, I wasn't telling Stephanie this, but this was basically, we couldn't pay the bills. I was basically shutting the business down. And I went to her event and it completely changed the trajectory of the business and our life. And we have started to shift this event and it, our business. And she starts going into all, I mean, like I'm standing off to the side, waiting to walk on stage, trying not to cry because I'm about to walk on stage. And it was just like, that's what we do. That's why we do this, is to give those business owners that opportunity.
You know, I love one of the things, actually, you said quite a bit. There's so much in what you just shared with us. But, you know, what I hear, and this is also for myself, I'm on a business journey myself, is that you can go in with a plan, you can go in with a strategy, because that's what you have to begin with. So for me, I went in, I knew that I could use my skill to help other flavors and fragrance companies solve some of their quality and food safety issues to get to the ultimate goals. But the point you said is just having that awareness and openness to pivot, because when you start getting these signs or people giving you this positive feedback about, you know, you were really good at this, mm-hmm. and embracing that and being okay to have enough space in the plan to be able to pivot and shift a little bit. Don't give up everything that you set the foundation on, but be able to move in a different direction, because sometimes it's your customers and clients that are telling you where they really need you to help them. So I love that story. Thank you. That was fantastic.
Thank you. I'm glad. I love sharing it because I do get people nowadays who get, they're like, "Oh, I can't wait to be where you're at one day." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you got to keep in mind like how much I've gone through to get to this point." And yeah, like you said, go in with a plan and take action, but don't be married to it. Like stuff's going to change. That's how business works.
Now, you know, getting ready for the show, I obviously look and see what you've done and what do you stand for. I love the insights that come from Thing, and you are a prolific content creator. So, you know, you go to her website, there is so much amazing content there, but you had a recent blog post that talked about, and the title was, "We Need to Disrupt Business as Usual." Yeah. And you can take it in different contexts. It's like, we need to disrupt business as usual, or we need to disrupt business. Just what do you mean by that? Because I think there's something amazing in there that I want to know more.
Well, I'm so glad you found that post. So it's true. The way business works right now clearly doesn't work, because right now, you know, more businesses shut down by their fifth year in business than stay open. I think, you know, 20% make it past 5 years. And those are not great odds. When you think about the amount of money people invest in their businesses, I mean, 401ks, futures, everything gets invested in the business. And so often they end up shutting it down. So clearly the way we are going into and trying to manage our businesses is not working. It's not sustainable. We've got to shift that. And we've got to help people realize, you know, two things. One is that you need to be great at your functional skill. If you're a coach or a plumber or a baker or whatever, you know, a construction, whatever, you got to be good at that skill. But at the same time, if you want to run a business, you also have to build the skills needed to be a business owner.
Absolutely.
So that's the first realization. And then once you have that realization, because then that's super nebulous. It's like, oh my gosh, well, I need to build all of these skills to be a business owner. What do I do? Right. So the second realization is there's only five key skill sets you need to develop. You need to understand how to manage your financials and your cash flow. Okay. That's your first skill set. You need to understand how to drive sales, whether you're doing the sales or you are managing a team to do the sales, that's the second skill set. The third skill set is setting standard operating procedures, because what will happen is when you create those standard operating procedures, you set quality control standards. Okay. And so knowing how to set those up and how to manage to those, that's your third skill set. Your fourth one is people management. So you need to understand how to manage the people in your business, your employees and yourself. And I think that's something a lot of people miss. They forget you have to manage yourself. And in fact, we are terrible bosses to ourselves most of the time. We're very hard on ourselves. And then the last one is developing marketing and branding.
You know, there's so much in there, and we got to pause there because, I mean, I know there is talks, there's training all around this, but one of the things that really resonated with me that I found in my second year of business, my first year in business, the theme was relevance. I needed to be relevant. So that obviously entailed understanding the business plan, your marketing, your branding, et cetera. But it's so easy as a business owner to say, ooh, I want to go in that direction. Ooh, that's interesting. Oh, I have to respond to this. Oh, I have to network with all these people. And I find year two, the theme is discipline and setting that structure around managing yourself so that you're very focused on the outcome, the goals, the roadmap, et cetera, leaving you a little bandwidth to possibly pivot, but discipline, discipline, discipline.
You are so spot on. And I think that's where a lot of people end up struggling is what they do is they spend so much energy doing so many things that don't matter. And they don't hold themselves accountable to spend their energy on the things that do matter. So all of a sudden, they're spinning their wheels going to 6 networking events per week, but their branding, their marketing, their sales process is terrible. And so they're literally going to networking events hoping that they're going to meet someone who's going to be like, oh, I've been looking for you. But it doesn't happen that way. Like, it's just not how business works.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be a little bit intentional, sprinkled with some luck and careful preparation, but intention and discipline and learning, because entrepreneurial businesses, you have to learn what matters and what is significant, because I too was reaching out to everybody, figuring I got to put the brand out there so people know. However, only through experimentation do you start realizing what activities and what people really matter for going forward.
Yes. And that is so true. So like that taking action, you've got to do that. But you also have, once you've done it, right, then you can sit down and say, okay, I've spoken to 50 people, 100 people. Okay. This is not, let me stop after I've talked to 2 people and, you know, I haven't made a sale yet. This is that discipline to say, okay, now I've spoken to all these people. Where do I need to focus my energy? Right. I talk about this energy advantage concept a lot. This idea that your time and your money is actually not your most valuable asset, that your energy is. Right? Because if you think about
Yes, I know.
You've had an evening where you were too tired to do anything. So you had time, but was it valuable? No, because all you wanted to do is sit on the couch and watch TV. Like you didn't get anything done because you had no energy. And so your energy is your most valuable asset. So what's important as a business owner is to figure out where you should and shouldn't be spending your energy. Your energy, wherever you spend it, needs to produce return for you. And if it doesn't produce a return, you need to find a way to get that off your plate. So if you're spending time hanging out with people doing stuff that drains you and exhausts you, you got to get that. And you're not going to start, I mean, you can't do only the stuff you love right away in business, right? You're going to have to do some stuff you don't love. But you got to start working on cutting that. That's where the discipline comes in. Okay. This wasn't helpful. It's draining my energy. I'm cutting that off. I'm moving it out of my life. And then again and again, coming and doing the same thing over time, you get to where you live inside what I call the energy advantage, where life's freaking fantastic.
So this is why I bring guests like you onto the show, because energy advantage, love it. I know that obviously self-care, getting enough sleep, making the proper decisions on what does and doesn't matter is certainly helpful. And then trying to get at least good quality sleep. But energy advantage, it's not just something that you have to do, but it's a place of advantage. So that's beautiful. But this conversation is about people that are maybe someplace in the spectrum of running their business for which you can come in and help guide them to maybe a better place. But what about the business owner that you talk about in a video from March of this year about being interested versus committed? And I would love to know more about when you come across business owners as such, that how do you get them over the hump from simply being interested to truly showing the commitment?
So that is a really interesting question because, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and when I started the business, I spent so much time trying to push people into commitment. And I had this belief that if I could sell them into spending money with me, right, then their money was there, then they would be committed because they spent money on this. And what I found where I got frustrated was time and time again, they still wouldn't be committed. They may have spent money and they still wouldn't commit to doing the work necessary. And the difference between interested and committed is when you're interested in something, as soon as something better comes along, you're changing direction. When you're committed, it doesn't matter what comes along. It's not going to be better for you because you're committed to where you're going, right? So a great opportunity may show up, but you know it's not the best fit for you because you're committed to where you're going. So there's no way to push someone from interested to committed. It has to be an internal thing. I talk about motivation. Motivation is a killer concept because everyone thinks that they can get motivated by someone else, but you're either motivated or you're not, right? I've had people who are like, oh, Stephanie, if I could hang out with you all day, I'd get so much done because you're so motivating. I'm like, no, you wouldn't. You'd drag me down too. But if you want to let, you know, because I spent years in that interested phase, interested in starting a business, interested, but never quite going. If you want to move your butt from interested to committed, the key is start taking action.
Is it action or is it mindset? Do you have to have the right mindset? Because you can take action, but then say, oh, well, that failed. That failed.
That's a good, I think it's a combination of the two, right? So when you start to take action, you'll start to build this like momentum where it starts to become easier to go. But you're right. There is some level of mindset to it that says, you know, I'm going to do this. I got to do this for, and here's what I tell people. I'm like, you know, one thing I realized just before I started the business, I had this realization. I was not a finisher. And I didn't call myself a quitter. But I was not a finisher. I had paintings that I'd started that were unfinished. I had a blanket that I was trying to crochet that was unfinished. You know, I had all these projects I'd started on, but never finished on. And so the one change I realized was I said, you know what? I want to be a finisher. And so I'm going to finish this thing, right? So I'm going to start this business. And my thing was I set smaller goals. So this wasn't a, oh, I have to build a multi-million dollar business. It was, I'm going to get to this threshold, to this landmark, right? And I'm going to hold myself accountable to get just to this landmark. I'm going to start taking action to get to that landmark. So yeah, I mean, that is a mindset. And then it comes in and it leads into this, all right, I'm going to start taking action. I'm going to start moving and we're going to build momentum.
So you bring an interesting concept there. I just want to kind of add to that before moving in another direction. I have people that show intent and commitment and they're of the right mindset. Yes, I want to make this change. And then they are stuck. They said, I don't know how to do it. It feels so daunting. It's going to take so much work. I don't have enough time. But to your point, every one of us has to find a way, a reminder, an accountability buddy. I have an Excel spreadsheet that I look at every single morning and I look at it for daily, weekly, monthly, annual tasks. And every single day, if I have a red traffic light because I haven't started my course content that has to deploy the end of second quarter, it stays red until I start taking action. And nobody likes a red light. Nobody likes a red mark on their homework. But that red helps accountability and get the action that you need to move forward. So let's talk about, you have a couple books, and one of your books, and forgive me, I haven't read it yet. I'd intend to do so. It's called Friend Power, How the Friends You Choose Can Change Your Life. What's your perspective on that? Because, I mean, you have friends, many different friends, you've got family, but what are your insights from this book?
There are times I even go back and I read the book and I'm like, oh, I had some really good commentary in here. My husband was laughing at me about a year and a half ago. I was reading back through the book for the first time in a while. And I was like, wow, there's some good stuff in here. And he was like, you wrote it. Don't you remember? I was like, yeah, but that was like 4 years ago. So, but the reason I wrote that book is because I feel like it's a concept everyone knows, but it's almost like one of those cliches where they know it, but they don't know it. They know their friends impact them, but they don't realize how much it impacts them. And so What I set out to do with Friend Power was to show people how the people you hang out with is impacting every part of your life. It's impacting your relationships. It's impacting your spiritual journey. It's impacting your personal development, your business, your finances. Every aspect of your life is impacted by the people you hang out with. And so the way the book set up, the first few chapters are literally just me breaking down, hey, this hits you over the head in this section of your life. And here's how it impacts this section of your life. And then it goes into, you know, the book wraps up with, okay, so now you've realized there's probably some people in your life that shouldn't be in your life. What do you do about it? Because sometimes those people are family. What do you do at that point? You know, sometimes it's your spouse, right? Are you going to get a divorce because your spouse, I mean, you know, I guess that depends on your perspective of relationships, but for the most part, I don't think it's worth getting a divorce at that point, right? There should be some other issues going on there too. And so then it goes into, okay, let's talk about what do you do? How do you deal with this? And how do you set this up? You know, I spend time, you know, about once a quarter every 6 months going through the people on my calendar, the people who've made it onto my calendar in the past 6 months. And how do I feel about that? Am I glad I spent time with them? Was that uplifting? What did that do? Or am I sitting here going, that was not worth it, right? And I do. There are people. The thing is, people are coming in and out of my life all the time, right? And so someone will end up on my calendar who's getting a bunch of my time. Then all of a sudden I'm realizing, I don't think I want to keep giving this person a bunch of my time. And so you have to actively make a choice to start moving that person off the calendar. And that was really the thing behind Friend Power was I recognized that that was something that had impacted every aspect of my life. And I wanted other people to realize how much it was impacting them too.
That's beautiful. You know, so often we talk about taking inventory of our own behaviors, actions, mindset, et cetera. And that's only part of the puzzle. A favorite podcast host of mine, Jeffrey Shaw, also talked about the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And that is not just yourself, but it's the company and the environment and the people in it.
Jeffrey is amazing, by the way. I just had to fangirl for just a second. I actually have his book right here.
Yeah. Mine too.
So I'm super excited. He's fantastic. He's brilliant.
All right. Shout out to Jeffrey Shaw in the show notes. Let's keep going. So obviously you have a lot of clients, you're successful, but would love to know about a story where you had a particular client that was at a challenging place in their business and you were maybe their last resort. How did you help move them from their current state to a place where they were more productive or saw improvements in their business?
Oh man. Okay. Three or four people just hopped into my mind right then and there. But I'll share one that I worked with, long, fun story about how I came to work with these guys. But I started working with them, what, 2-3 years ago now? And I'd actually met them about a year prior. They brought me in to converse about doing some consulting and some work together. And I actually walked out of that meeting and I told them, hey, until you can meet this threshold, I just basically said, until you can get the entire leadership team on board with bringing me in, I'm not going to come in. Because until the entire leadership team is saying, okay, we need Stephanie, we're not going to be able to make any change. I could take your money, but we're not going to get anywhere. And I'm past the point of thinking that I can create momentum by taking people's money. So almost a year later, they called me. It was like 9 months later, they called me back in and I came in, we sat down and they were at a really challenging time in the business. They were going through a transition where the leadership, it was a family-owned business. The leadership was transitioning from the parents to the children. There was all kinds of absolute craziness going on. The business had been in rapid growth mode and it was this multi-million dollar business that was almost operating at like high six figures. Like it was, did not have the infrastructure to support the level that they were at. It didn't have the infrastructure to support the growth they were going through. And there were so many blind spots in the business where there were points when they were sitting here going, you know, we're making all this money or supposedly making all this money. Where is it? Like, what's going on here? There were, you know, all of a sudden as the kids are taking over, they're finding absolutely craziness going on. There were bad Apple employees who were dragging people down. And I mean, really dragging people down. It was nuts. And so the first thing we just did was we sat down and we started working on creating structure inside the organization. Who's responsible for what? Who's taking care of? And this is the thing with small businesses. They all give me the same answer when I tell them we need to create responsibility descriptions, which is a variation on a job description. And they go, well, we're a small business. Everyone just kind of, you know, we all kind of help out. You know, this person's kind of in charge over here and this person's kind of in charge over here, but we just jump in whenever needed. And they all say it. And I always look at them and I say, I get that. But the problem is, by the way, how's your health? Right? That's usually the question. The owner's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what I found is when everyone's responsible for everything, the buck ends up stopping on the owner's desk, on your desk. So let me guess, you're working way too many hours. You're exhausted. You're overworked. You might be having some health issues. Are you high blood pressure? Sitting here going, I thought I was having a heart attack the other day. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So that's not a good sign, okay? We have to give people, let them know what they're responsible for and then give them the freedom to own it, to run that portion of the business. And so the first thing we did was we sat down and we said, okay, we are going to create responsibility descriptions. You're responsible for this. Now, does this mean no one's going to help you with it? No, actually, it means you have room to ask other people for help more because you can focus on making sure the end goal is met. And so we started there. And then once we did that, we realized we had a couple of people in the wrong seats. So now we're moving people around inside the organization. And then we were starting to develop leadership training for some of these guys and KPIs and how are we going to measure performance. And what's been very cool is to see these guys are now in, I mean, they were in pretty rapid growth mode, but now they're like, you know, multiple millions of dollars and probably going to double by this time next year, which is a massive amount of growth once you get that large. And the owner's actually taking time off and living a real life and not just living the business and went from, I think I'm having a heart attack to, yeah, I decided to take the other day off. They didn't even notice I was gone. Like that's the level we want to get you, be able to get you to in the business. So,
you know, it's a beautiful story when you do arrive at a point with a client that says, I need you. Because to your point earlier, trying to sell them, trying to get their commitment, trying to take their money to equate to commitment is not the same thing as somebody that says, I know where I'm at. I don't like where it is. I need somebody to guide me to a better place. And that's where you come in. And it sounds like you've had some absolutely amazing results. I love working with clients like that.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of insights. You've got a tremendous amount of energy. And I will say, you know, I'm watching Stephanie. We are able to see each other on the screen. She's very crisp and precise with how she sees it and how she calls it out and what needs to be done. But there's a bundle of energy, smiles, et cetera. It's almost like, I'm going to give you my advice, but she's going to say it with a smile, compassion, and empathy. So again, just my two cents, and she's just an amazing person. But let's just move a little bit about what inspires you? I always ask that of all my guests. I'm always myself looking for insights and inspiration. But for you, along the way, has there been anybody or a situation that's inspired you?
Well, anybody, I would say one of the people who inspired, it's a hard question to answer because I don't want anyone to feel like I'm leaving them out here because I really do work hard to make sure that there are a lot of people around who do inspire me. And a lot of my clients really inspire me, right? I love the fact that getting on the phone with them leaves me excited. But I think one person who has really had a massive impact in shifting how I view business and where I'm going, this guy by the name of Mike Michalowicz, he's an author. He wrote a book called Profit First that is, I think, nearing the million copies sold or something crazy like that. He's actually got another book that's just come out called Fix This Next. And I love his books. I love his process. And I love the fact that he's this extremely well-known influencer. And he's also still just so approachable. And he's just an incredible human. And he inspires me I want to be like Mike. That's what I keep saying. I want to be like Mike. And his agent laughs at me a little bit. We've had him out to speak at a couple of our events. And when I say that, she laughs. She's like, you'll get there. You'll get there. But, you know, he's making a huge impact in the world. He has shifted so many people's lives. His book, that Profit First book, has taken people from, I mean, I've literally seen it take businesses from in the red for years to in the black within 3 to 6 months. Unbelievable transformation. And that's where I want to get to as well.
So that's beautiful. We'll make sure we get all that great content. Shout out to Mike in the show notes. But as we bring this amazing conversation to a close, and this has been truly a pleasure, if there's anything else that you want to share with the listeners, what comes to mind? Is there anything else that we maybe didn't cover?
One of the words that I live by is that passion creates action and action creates results. It's my motto. And I believe that you have choices in everything you do in your life. Everything you do is a choice. You are in control. You are in control of how you respond. You know, our neighbor's house literally burned down 2 days ago. That's a terrible situation, but you still have choices in that, you know, no matter what's going on. And when you choose to let yourself live inside your passion, inside your energy advantage, it will create action for you, for your business. And when you take action, especially at the massive levels that when you're living in your passion, you do, it creates results for your life. And that would be my final, I would encourage people to just live their life by that.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Stephanie. So if people wanted to connect with you, and I know they absolutely will, how can they connect with you?
I think the best place to go is our company website. It's growdisrupt.com, just the company name, Grow Disrupt. And it is a huge resource. We have articles on there. We have classes and courses. We have free classes and courses for the most part. I think there's a few paid ones on there too, but we have a ton of free stuff. We have this really cool quiz we launched that is designed to help people figure out, okay, what do I need to work on in my business? Sometimes it's overwhelming to figure out what I'm supposed to work on next. So we launched it took us like a year to build the quiz and get it embedded, and it's up. And I think the website's an awesome resource. And if you fill out the contact form, if you want to chat with me, my team will get you to me within like a day. They're really fast.
All right. Fantastic. This has been a great conversation. I can't wait for our listeners to hear it. Wish you continued success in your business. And thank you again, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I love the way you put this podcast together. You're such a thoughtful host. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.